hit. This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's Friday, January 14th, 2022. We made it, everyone. It's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Austin, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
And Passion Conference attendee. And from Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What's up?
Hey, Jamie, did you
what go to a, Passion? What an intro, Cameron.
Yeah,
Jamie,
I know, right?
Did you go to Passion as a chaperone? Be truthful. Were you watching?
I was not a chaperone. I did go to Passion, though. One of my really great friends, Jenny Allen, was speaking for the first time there. Not for her first time in her
she
life.
She did great.
She did phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think she was the best. Yeah. Jamie, so I did go, and it was fabulous.
I saw a lot of Passion content on all the socials this weekend. It looked very impressive. But I had the same thought that I feel like everyone who's probably in attendance, who's probably seeing those images, or who's probably just out in the world right now, is like, anytime you're in a crowded room, you know, I understand, like, our understanding of Omicron and vaccines and all the things. I feel like it's constantly evolving, but we've all collectively been like, look, we got to get back to life, right? But, you know, when I saw those pictures of Passion, I had the feeling I felt was similar probably to people in attendance, because I experienced it firsthand the other day. I wasn't at Passion, but I was at another big cultural event, and that was taking my 8-year-old son to see the new Spider-Man movie, and it's like still sold out everywhere. Okay?
Is it really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It just surpassed Titanic in box office receipts. Titanic.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's what? Crazy.
So, yeah, it's bigger box office than Titanic.
Crazy.
And I went into the theater, and you know, it was, I gotta be honest, I'm pretty laid back these days with just kind of everything in the world. You know, I'm going to restaurants and, you know, games and little leagues and all that kind of stuff. But something about a tight theater where no one's moving around, everyone's just kind of sitting stagnant, you know, you just get the, you just, like, I could just see an invisible fog of breath, of collective, like, breath from everyone, just, like, hovering over.
Think about Passion, it's, people are actively singing a lot, and they're, like, projecting their breath into this one bubble room.
Oof. And that's the problem with the Spider-Man movie.
Half of them don't believe in masks, probably, so...
I don't know. I will
say this real quick. Jesse, you can get back to Spider-Man, but I will say this, because there has been conversation about Passion. I was there. I went as a grown-up, fully knowledgeable of everything that was happening. I wore a mask in there, and I did not see very many college kids with masks on. But a lot of people are giving a lot of, like, you know, pushback and stuff. And I'll just say, did y'all watch the game on Monday with 100,000 college kids?
Yeah.
And grown-ups from Georgia and Alabama.
Mask down there either.
No mask there. And I understand it. I just wanted to say there is just lots of things happening in the world besides college kids at Passion. Carry on, Jesse, with your Spider-Man.
And I'm not hating
movie.
On Passion attendees. That's not my point. Like, I think it's, I, you know,
sounds
look,
like
I think
to
we're
me.
All, I think we're all capable of making our own decisions. Who am I to judge? I'm, you know, I've, like, I was in a basketball gym. I played basketball the other night, okay, with strangers at a gym. And, you know, we're literally sweating on top of each other. That, you know, how can I judge someone going sing songs?
I don't think it's transmitted that way.
Bone,
is
chicka,
it?
Bone, chicka, bone, chicka, bone, bone.
Through sweat glands?
We don't know. We could get a whole new variant. We could get the
pickup
ball variant.
You started a club
variant.
In the woods and you became blood brothers. Remember that? I mean.
Yeah. A little slice on the hand. Anyway, I'm at the movie and I was running across town to get there. And, you know, and it was one of those movie theaters where you have to pre-buy your tickets for specific seats and all that jazz, you know? So anyway, I reserved the seat, but I was running late. So my wife brought my son into the theater and was like, hey, your dad's going to be here soon. You just chill. I got to go. But he's going to be right behind me. You know, he's a big boy. He's fine.
You left your child
in a theater
How
for like 2 minutes.
He?
He's 8 years old. He's fine.
Two
he's
years old.
So anyway, so I go and I sit, and there's people surrounding us, a sold out theater, and I'm not even these days, I'm not as vigilant as I was early on with the mask thing. But at this point, I'm like, I'm doubling up with mask. Okay. I'm going cloth. I'm going medical one. I've come this far. Right. And if I'm going to be in this theater and I don't know these people, that's fine. We're all enjoying the movie. But to your point, there's not singing. There's a lot of cheering in the new Spider-Man. People are openly, Peter Parker's back. Right. Like, it's a lot of cheering for a movie.
A lot of spit takes, a lot of big surprises.
What?
And then
exactly. Yeah. Literally just spraying sodas all over the place. Just Omicron soda, just blasting during every spit take. No, that youth pastor line that everyone was talking about. Oh, you look like a cool youth pastor. Just sprayed me with an Omicron Diet Coke. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and there's a kid in front of me, kind of coughing a little, and the guy next to me is coughing throughout. I would say with a cadence of one cough every 90 minutes to, or no. 90 seconds to three, no to 3 minutes.
That's
and he's directly next to me.
That's a lot of coughing.
It was a significant amount of coughing. And he wasn't
has tuberculosis. He's got something. Smoker,
maybe some allergies, guys.
It was like exact. So anyway, I look over and I'm not going to, I was to the point, he wasn't wearing a mask. And I almost said, bro, listen, can you just put on a mask? Like, I understand you probably have cold or something.
Or giving him one of the three you had on at least.
Yeah, exactly. I could just peeled one off. But I didn't do it. But I was kind of giving him a side eye every time where I feel like he could probably feel me staring at him, anyway, it was, I was very upset about this whole thing. And as soon as I got home, I was like, I almost just laid into this guy next to me. Just the courtesy, just put on a mask if you're coughing out in public. Maybe even when we're through a pandemic, maybe it's just a good idea if you're going to be hacking up along in a movie theater, just cover it up a little, right? And he was doing the elbow turn, so he didn't get his mouth. But when he was turning in my direction,
like he didn't want to get his wife sick.
He was aiming it.
I mean, he was literally, and so I almost said something. I never do that. I'm not that type of person,
You're not.
But anyway, and I was like, Dana, almost, and she was like, anyway. So I get home, and she was like, oh, listen, when I put off Noah in his seat, there was a guy that was sitting in the seat next to you, and he was the kindest old man I've ever met.
Aww.
He said, oh, is your son seeing the movie by himself? He's welcome to come sit with my grandkids over here. And he is, we'll buy him snacks and he can come sit with us so he's not alone. And my wife was like, man, dude, this guy. And I automatically felt like the worst human in the world. So the point is, because this guy was just unnecessarily kind to my wife and child, and I was almost a jerk to him. Moral of the story is, look, everybody's doing their own everybody's a little stressed. Let's all give each other a little grace, because
I
almost really ripped into someone who ended up being a really great human and, I'm sure was, taking all the precautions he needed to. I didn't get sick. I enjoyed the movie despite the anxiety, but it was a good lesson I learned that night. So just ease up on people.
Early in the pandemic, we were someplace and someone started coughing around us and they just looked at us and without even changing the look on their face, they just said, we have cats. And so now whenever our family's out, if anyone coughs, we're like, cats, huh? It's just because you cough and people are automatically scared of you.
Yeah, I just think we're at the point too where people just, like you said, everybody is making their best decision with what they believe. And it doesn't make any sense us arguing and fussing with each other over masks. I went and saw The Lion King and I felt the same way though. We saw it at the TPAC.
Yeah.
And they had a mask requirement. I still felt nervous and scared. I was okay until we got in a ride share. And the particular ride share we got into, the driver, he didn't have his mask on. So he saw me and my wife, we had our mask on. So he decides to put his mask on, but he puts it on his chin.
Aww.
Like, it's not covering his mouth. It's not covering his nose. It's not covering anything.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But he was literally the funniest dude in the world. Like, he had just gotten out of a bad relationship. He moved from Wilmington, North Carolina to the middle of the country, Tennessee. And he says, I hate it here. And you want to get Taco Bell, you got to go 30 miles in either direction to get Taco Bell. And he's excited about the Taco Bell wings. So, he was pretty funny.
Aren't we all? I mean, it's a bright spot.
He wore his mask. He covered his goatee.
I don't know what you're talking about. Taco Bell's doing wings?
Taco Bell has wings now.
Yeah,
why?
I think they should stay in their lane.
I don't know. It's the random. It's the most random ever. It's like they have wings now.
There's a Taco Bell in downtown Orlando that has a bar.
It's a Taco Bell.
It's a high end Taco Bell called the Taco Bell Cantina, and there's like four of them in the country. And it's like it's a big nightlife area, and so it stays open all night. All the bar people can get their tacos all night long, and it's got, and it serves liquor. It's crazy. So.
That sounds kind of cool, though. I ain't gonna even lie. That just, you gonna need some liquor to soak up the Taco Bell now.
here's the thing. Taco Bell has just realized, like, most people who consume our food are doing it at the end of a string of bad decisions. Why don't we just combine all of those decisions into one destination?
Yeah.
Like, but I will say this about the... Have you guys been in a setting yet, like in a restaurant or church or something like that, where you feel a, you feel like a little tickle in your throat, like a cough, and you suppress it, and you look over and your eyes are watering, and you're just going, or you're like bending your neck in a way, and you think that's going to like resolve this urge to cough, but you don't want the stares, because you know three rows up, like people are looking over like, oh boy, here we go, who's coughing in here? Like, no one wants to be that. Like, I have worked on cough suppressant techniques where it looks like my face is about to explode, right? Like, but I don't want to be that guy. I'm sure we've all been there at this point.
But you know? Want to know something we don't talk about enough? And I'm really, this happened to me last night. We were in a rush as we were headed to Lion King, and we got food, and I got in Lion King, and I was enjoying, you know, my time, and food wasn't really agreeing with me as much. You want to know the worst thing in the world is burping in your mask.
Oh, yes.
I burped in my mask, and I about died. I almost killed myself on accident. Like, it wasn't on purpose. Like, literally, it just, it was a heavy spice dish that I had. It was like a short rib braised thing, and it was, all the short rib went out and came back in to my nostrils, and I about died. So just whatever you do, you know, I see why people pull their mask down to burp. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, because you want to pull your mask down to burp, but that's irresponsible, because then you could be spreading COVID. So you just, it's death by acid or whatever, that gas, you know what I'm saying? There's no really a moral to the story. It's just bad. Just letting y'all know that.
Just another thing wrong with this pandemic. You can't even,
that's right. you can't even have a cathartic
burp anymore.
I mean, what are you supposed to do after eating your Taco Bell wings? You know, I mean, it's going to happen.
Dude, I don't know why people are sleeping on Taco Bell still. Like, I got Taco Bell the other day, and people were, where I was, they had one across the street, and I just walked over and got myself some, right? And I got the, obviously, I did the Doritos taco, okay?
What are your thoughts about their subscription?
What's the subscription?
They have a Taco Bell, by the way. Well, like, that's a never.
So, they just announced that they're doing a taco subscription, that for $10 a month, you get a taco every day.
Oh, my kids would love this. Oh.
It's not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal, but it's like, who wants a Taco Bell taco every day?
My three
like
boys would.
It's something to look forward to every day.
On the way home from school, they just go pick up their taco. I'm going to tell them about this.
Doug Heffernan on King of Queens talked about it on the way home at the end of his workday. He would get his pre-dinner Whopper. Maybe that's what it is.
Pre-dinner Whopper?
Yeah, he's a fat guy, you know.
Okay.
I feel like, hey, a little something to look forward to. I feel like that does a lot for you during a day. If you just like, back in the day, we would all work in the Relevant office way back in the day, Cameron, and there was like a vending machine, and I would get either a Barg's root beer or Dr. Pepper, like an ice cold can, once in the afternoon. And I would look forward to that can all day. You know what? Every time I drank it, it was like, I've been looking forward to this. It's a little great thing to put in your milestone. If you're telling me I get a taco every day, that's a whole new level. Like, let's say I ate my taco around 3 o'clock, around one, my mind starts shifting. It's almost taco time, guys. It's almost taco time. Everything's going to be fine.
Hey, if you got your vaccine, Krispy Kreme will give you a free donut every day this year.
Wow. Will you show your card?
You just tell them, I want my vaccine donut or whatever. Every day you can get a free Krispy Kreme donut.
You said
one a day for free. Yeah, that's how they were encouraging people to get vaccinated, incentivizing with sugary treats.
That ain't half bad, I ain't gonna lie.
We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to one of our favorite indie groups, Saint Motel. You don't want to miss that. Great new album. We also have your feedback at the end of the show. And stay tuned right now. It's Relevant News. I may be dumb, but I gotta know, 'cause I don't wanna say goodbye. Things have changed since the last time I see your face right in front of mine. You push me away like the last guy, like the last guy. You're listening to Juice Bangers and Marty. The song is Seems Like. Well, today's show is brought to you by UHSM. Healthcare costs have been growing year after year and can lead to a lot of confusion. Thankfully, UHSM offers great and affordable health for everyone. Unite HealthShare Ministries, or UHSM, is a Christian health sharing ministry that puts your health before anything else. Health sharing is not insurance. The programs at UHSM are member-based fellowships where faithful people can take charge of their own health care. UHSM offers different programs to meet any and all of your needs, from telehealth options to plans that cover the unexpected moments in life. UHSM has something for everyone. For more information, head over to uhsm.org or contact a representative at 800-900-8476. Again, head over to uhsm.org, or for more info, you can contact a representative at 800-900-8476. Okay, it's time for Relevant News. Please welcome to the show Relevant Senior Editor Tyler Huckabee, helping us stay connected with what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture. Now, Tyler, I know that today you've got two items for Relevant News, but hey, man, what's going on this week?
So there's been there's always a lot going on, but this was something where I'm trying to, you know, we're always going to look for the helpers at Relevant News. We're always trying to keep an eye on some of the good things that are happening in the world. And there was a piece of good news that went a little bit unnoticed last week that I thought it would be good to bring attention to, that is happening in a state where good things aren't necessarily always happening. And that is the state of Louisiana. Down in Louisiana last week, Governor Jean Bel Edwards has posthumously pardoned a man by the name of Homer Plessy. Do you guys know who Homer Plessy is? Does that name ring a bell, anybody? Or did you see this story going around?
I saw it.
So this is a super interesting story. He was the man at the center of what ended up being known as the separate but equal ruling that the Supreme Court levied in Plessy versus Ferguson. Back in 1892, Homer Plessy was a member of a group called the Citizens Committee. That was a civil rights group that was trying to overturn segregation laws. And so he went into what was marked as a whites-only train car that down there in the state of Louisiana. Obviously, that did not go very well. He ended up getting arrested. That protest culminated then just a few years later in 1896 with Plessy versus Ferguson, which established whites-only spaces in public accommodations such as transportation, hotels, and schools. And that lasted for over half a century. It was called Separates But Equal, in which you could have these racially segregated spaces. And according to the Supreme Court, it wasn't really considered discrimination because these spaces were equal. They were just kept apart. They were separate but equal. And he actually ended up convicted for doing this. That was a long time ago. Obviously, a lot has changed since then. And finally, now in 2021, the governor has offered him a posthumous pardon for what happened. And his family was, his descendants were on hand to claim that. A distant relative, Keith Plessy, said, quote, "It's truly a blessed day for our ancestors and for children not yet born." He said that he had the feeling that my feet are not touching the ground because my ancestors are carrying me. Phoebe Ferguson, who is the great-great-granddaughter of the judge in the ruling, said the purpose of the pardon, quote, "is not to erase what happened 125 years ago, but to acknowledge the wrong that was done." That it's this is part of other recent efforts that have acknowledged Plessy's role in history. That includes a vote by the New Orleans City Council to rename a section of the street where he tried to board the train in his honor. So it's another example of the arc of history being very long, obviously, but this is a good example of states remembering what happened and trying to seek some small measures of justice way down the line.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful. I hate that we have to even go back and fix stories like this, but I guess it's better late than never. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's a good example because you do hear these stories about like forgetting history or moving on from history. But there was, in this case, that there never was really any attempt at justice or restitution to what happened. Mm-hmm. We know what was wrong. We know that this man whose name has mostly been forgotten to history was in the right and was doing something good. And it was not, you know, I don't think anybody was like banging on the door of the Louisiana State House every day saying, we need to make this right. We need to do it. But I do think it's commendable for Governor Bel Edwards in this case, to go ahead and do this anyway. And it'd be cool to see what would happen if other state legislators took this up, looked to places in their own history, because I'm sure every state has them, where they were in the wrong, where they can acknowledge that and do what they can to make restitution and in some cases make reparations.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to this week's episode of This American Life. I definitely encourage people to check it out. The episode title is called Talking While Black, and it's about it basically looks at two stories involving like kind of the school system and conversations that have been happening around, you know, how racism is talked about in curriculum, misconceptions about critical race theory, things like that. But I think one of the big takeaways from the series or from the episode, at least from my perspective, was the importance of truthful reminders of history so that we can try not to have it repeat itself, and that we can't be, you know, that we can't be, you know, overly concerned about how authentic portrayals and the way we address past wrongs, you know, affect the, you know, quote unquote, kind of like guilt or feelings of students of today or citizens of today, or in this case, you know, the court system of today that is acknowledging a wrongdoing of the court system of the past. It's like if there's a real benefit to making these public acknowledgments of past wrongs, not just so that, you know, it can serve as some sort of like redemptive narrative to, you know, that in this case, that particular family, but also like, hey, we have to undo the wrongs of the past, not just acknowledge them, but we have to bring them to the forefront of these conversations because that's what's going to prevent these types of things from happening in the future.
Well, I think that's what's so terrible about the whole, like there's legislation in certain states that are trying to remove quote unquote critical race theory books. And a lot of it is stuff that's by black authors about the black experience and all of those types of books. And a lot of people said, you know, people have created this crazy narrative that CRT or whatever, and every time a black person says, hey, this happened in the past to black people, that somehow it's under this CRT conspiracy. That's what's, if you remove all of the stories from people from their perspectives, then what do you have left? And then what's crazy is you want to remove that because that's dangerous, but then there's so many other things that, I mean, my son literally just brought home a book called Dog Man. It's about a dog man. It's like that book doesn't matter. Like it's like it's a fictional book, but people telling their actual stories, like you would want to try to ban that. But, you know, I think we get into a crazy season where as a black person, it's really frustrating for our stories to be put to the side or even be tested when, you know, people can have all kind of different stories and no one says, oh, let's get those books out of our children's libraries because they're dangerous. So mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's sad. I don't think we get these types of movements like pardoning Plessy without those types of books and those types of conversations. So if we just kill the conversation because it makes us uncomfortable, we can't have any progress.
One of the things I also love about this story that you brought, Tyler, is how it is like local people in this area going back and handling business in their area. And I think, you know, like Derek, what you said about everyone gets real scared about CRT. There's also, you know, Christians get really scared about reparations as well. Mm-hmm. And they get all uptight. Like, what are we going to have to do? Like, I wasn't there. This is my great, great, great grandfather. And I think reparations are important. And I remember there's a book actually, Reparations, A Christian Call for Repentance and Repair, by Kwan and Thompson. And I remember hearing an interview where they were talking about, and they really stressed like the importance of like local communities dealing and giving reparations for what happened in their own community. And so that's one reason I love this story, is because you've got the great, great, great granddaughter of the judge and the other family. Mm-hmm. And they're really saying, hey, we value you and your ancestors and what happened. And in this, you know, conversation, there's not necessarily reparations, but there's repair that's made. And I think that's important, and it's valuable as Christians that we do that. And that can happen right in your own community. It doesn't have to be nationwide. It can happen in your city, whatever parish this was in Louisiana.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. What else is going on this week, Tyler?
Okay. So this is, we're going to a different side of the world. I'm actually going to, you'll have to forgive the slightly visual slice. I'm going to text you guys a photo really fast to your phone. So pull them out. This is something that you can find in Turkmenistan.
Where is Turkmenistan?
Turkmenistan
is over. This is over from in Asia. It's going to that side of the world. You should see it pop up soon in your phone. So what I just texted you is, this is known as, in what translates to in English as the gateway to hell. This is for the past 50 years, there has been a sinkhole out in the desert, out in the Karakum Desert in Turkmenistan, which is a 230 foot wide sinkhole that's about 70 feet deep, and it has been on fire for about half a century now.
What?
This is true. Nobody quite knows where this thing came from or why it opened up. There's some speculation that maybe the Soviets found a sinkhole and tried to like burn away some of the gases that were in it, and that fire just never really went out. But it really, that's just speculation. It just appeared, and it's called the Gateway to Hell. They tried to shut it down about 10 years ago. Scientists could not figure out how to put this fire out. It doesn't go out. So they turned it into a tourist trap, which is what it is now. You can go to Turkmenistan, you can pay a few bucks, and you can go walk around the Gateway to Hell. But now there is concern from scientists that the fumes from this thing are actually starting to be a health hazard for local communities who live nearby. You can see this thing from about 5 miles away in any direction. It's enormous, and it looks very, very, it looks like hell. It looks like something you'd see in like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or something like that. It does look like if you jumped into it, you'd end up in a portal where you don't want to end up in. So now scientists are rallying in Turkmenistan to once again make a new attempt at putting this thing out. And I think hopefully, this would solve not just their problem of this gateway to hell, but it could also solve, we don't know, a lot of other problems too. That could explain a lot of what's been going on in the world over the last few years. If this
the
really
demons
is
are escaping.
What they're saying,
that's what you're
is,
saying is like, that's what
yeah,
happened.
That's where okay. I'm trying to get to here is all I right. think this is a global good. This could be a charitable good that could really put Turkmenistan on the map for changing like the overall timeline of history that we're in right now and the descent that we've all been facing since, I don't know, 2014, 15, somewhere in that time. That's where I'm trying to get to with my slice. A little bit of speculative reporting on this one.
You can't tell me that this is good for the ozone, though.
Right.
It doesn't, yeah.
Okay, hell's not supposed to be good for anybody.
Okay,
you know?
Here's the thing. Look, there, we got a lot of, it seems crazy. Like most of the cast here is on the close up the hole to hell side. And I'm not saying we keep it open if it's causing health problems in local communities. Go ahead and figure it out, snuff it out.
Wait, is there an option to close it?
Before we do, before even scientists begin to think about that, can I just make one modest proposal to bring the world together for one night? Okay, here it is. I'm going to say two words. The whole globe will be watching. That's what we need. We need a little unity right now. Uh-huh. Those two words are Nick Walenda. One tightrope walk across the game before we close that bad boy up once and for all. Let humanity have
say
one
David
night.
Blaine. I literally thought you were going to say David Blaine, but I was tracking
Walenda.
With you. Nick Walenda. I like it.
Let's run a tightrope over that bad boy. Live stream that thing for the whole world to watch. We'd all be cheering for him. It's humanity, literally tightrope walking over the surface of hell itself. Like, what more victim? Unless disaster happened, then it'd be pretty horrible live stream.
Hey, look, Nick, I don't want you to take that one, dog. I'm gonna keep it real,
Nick.
As a one-way trip, dog.
This predates Jamie and Derek, but Jesse and I went to a Nick Wallenda stunt. I don't know, a few years ago, he was doing a live TV event where he was going in between two skyscrapers in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Jesse and I flew to Chicago to watch it. Yeah. And so we were there. I think we were guests of Discovery. And so we were in prime viewing area. Mm-hmm. And Jesse and I were like, oh, this is so funny and kitschy. And da, da, da. And then all of a sudden, right before it starts, he and I both had this very sobering reality of, we're sick. We came here to watch a man fall to his death. What are we doing?
It was supposed to be live broadcast on NBC, but NBC was like, look, if you do it, we got to have some sort of safety precautions. Like, we got to have a tether in case you fall. We got to have a net. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. So Discovery Channel's like, this is cable, baby. Just walk that rope, okay? Just walk it. We don't need nothing. Yeah. You'll figure it out. That's the same way with this. We need to
go Discovery. What is wrong with us?
But what I'm saying is the tightrope walk across the gate of hell. Unfortunately, Nick, we can have no safety measures for this evening. We need the world in rapture attention.
Find a good or evil. This is present darkness. Yeah. I mean, he's going to make it through the pit of hell.
The stakes could not be higher, Nick. Yeah. The state, call up Turkey, whoever we need to make happen before they, because they're closing it up for good. I don't know how, to Jamie's point, how do you do that? How do you put that thing out? I don't know.
Have you ever seen the spray insulation? That's it. You just drop a bunch of that, it goes, and then fills the hole.
This is the fire. Surely tried that. That surely has been, like, they've tried the normal things to put the fire out.
Like, this picture looks fake that you sent us,
Tyler. Do they have helicopters in this country? Because they could do one of those firefighter helicopters, go right above it and just drop the water on it.
Sure, I mean, have they tried praying?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
prayer. Have they rebuked the hole, Tyler?
Supplication?
That I don't know. Yeah, maybe science is wrong. Maybe
these come out only by fasting and praying.
They need like the aliens from a few weeks ago. They need to get a team of theologians on this.
That's right.
But would you pay money to go see this? Would you pay money to walk up as close as the sky was in this photo?
No question. Of course,
not me. Never.
It depends on how much. I don't know what the cap would be.
How do I know it's not going to start expanding and then I'm going to be swallowed up into hell?
What a story that for generations your family will tell about the way you went on.
The shoes won't burn up over the fire. Like, what if it's not? What if the fire gets too hot and burns the rope that he's walking on?
Great story.
Watching a man fall to his death, getting
helicopter ride. That's not a great story.
Okay. There's an important fact you guys are neglecting here, and that is, you know, Nick Wallenda is a man of faith. He had Joel Osteen praying his way. Literally, he brought Joel Osteen to the tightrope walk me and Cameron went to. Right. And he was praying for him the whole time on the other side. Okay? The gates of hell will not prevail. If Nick Wallenda were to fall, we know he'd be saved. I don't know how, but we can put it to the test. Okay? We know that he's safe from hell. Okay? So, Nick, I cannot possibly see one scenario of anything going wrong here. Let's stream this bad boy. Let's do it in the metaverse. Let's all buy Oculuses. Let's go in the metaverse. And we'll be right there standing, cheering all with everybody. You know?
I think we could do this as a Relevant exclusive. Like, this could be, you know,
we're just
going
to stream it at relevantmagazine.com. Like, he went from NBC to Discovery to YouTube to relevantmagazine.com.
This is our lane.
To Cameron standing there with an iPhone. Yeah. Just
on the other side.
I will not be a part of it.
I'm at the end.
Oh, why not?
Derek and I will be broadcasting from the studio. We'll be the people that you can go back to. Derek and Jamie in the studio.
Standing next to a big fire burning pit than going on a carnival cruise. You've been in danger with things like this before. You're fine. You'll be fine, bro.
Clark, we'll leave you in charge of the setup on this one. Like, we're all, me, Cameron, and Clark are standing on the side. You know, Tyler's there with an iPhone commentating, and like Nick's halfway across from, like, Clark, you tested that rope to make sure it's heat resistant, right? Like, it's not going to melt right in the middle of the walk,
Sounds like
the
Final Destination plot.
While I hold the shotgun mic over.
Yeah.
Tyler, that
you got you got the flammable rope. You got the inflammable rope, right? I thought you said the flammable rope. Clark, why would we get a flammable rope?
Why would Let's get those? Out of here. Nick, we gotta go.
Why would they market that as a flammable rope?
All ropes are flammable.
Why is that a marketing term? I'm gonna put a button on this story. This is just a little fun fact about this Gates of Hell. The president of Turkmenistan, his last name is, I'm gonna get this wrong, I apologize, President Berdimuhamedov. Berdimuhamedov.
Oh, sure.
He's very reclusive, and there were rumors that he had died. He had actually passed away while in office. He's been there for a long time. And to prove these rumors wrong, to dispute them, he took a camera crew out to the Gates of Hell to film him doing donuts in his car around the edge of it, on the outside of it, and posted those videos to social media so the people of Turkmenistan could see that not only was he alive, but he could spin donuts in a car around the Gates of Hell. And that is that's a power move. I don't think that would be a new chapter in American politics if that sort of stuff were to happen here.
This is Eastern Europe, right? Am I correct? This is Eastern Europe.
This
is a whole nother conversation. There, right? People think you're dead because you're an introvert. You don't leave your house. Like, that's just a whole nother thing. Like,
right.
And it's like,
so this is Central Asia. Central Asia. It's Asia.
It's one of the stands. Yeah.
It's Perfect right stand. Under Uzbekistan. And it's above Afghanistan and above Iran. So Iran and Afghanistan are side by side, and Turkmenistan is directly above both of them, like a hat. So that's where we are.
To Jamie's point, you know, if the big political intrigue is, man, we haven't seen the president in a while. Like, if you're his staff and you have to prove, he's just kind of quiet, just laying low right now. You know, if you're his staff and they're like, hey, maybe you should just make a public appearance, talk about some COVID protocol, some new tax policy, you know, whatever you want. He's like, no. He's like, I want to get that presidential motorcade by the Gates of Hell, and I'm doing some sick donuts right there.
They're like, all you have to do is stand up and wave outside of your room. He's like, nope, take me
he's
to hell.
He's playing some rock music from the 70s, going crazy.
Yeah, I like to think he's got a Pontiac solo. Trans Am with a big, you know, Firebird painted on the hood like Dwight Schrute, and just like, just one fist out the window, just like, let's go Turkmenistan, you know, like just rally cap time, ladies and gentlemen.
What if Dennis Rodman was in the car with him too? Right?
I could believe it.
All right, well, stay tuned. Up next, Saint Motel joins us. Listening to Best Coast, the song is All Alone. Well, today's show is also brought to you by BetterHelp. In 2022, it's definitely okay to talk about our mental health and happiness. Humans aren't meant to keep everything inside. It makes us sick, and therapy helps. But what is therapy? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, or not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. And right now, Relevant Podcast listeners get a special deal. You can go over to betterhelp.com/relevant to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/relevant to get 10% off your first month. Well, our guest today is AJ Jackson from Saint Motel, the indie band behind hit songs like My Type and Preach. The band is known not only for their incredible music, but also the visual elements they incorporate with their albums. AJ sat down with our very own Emily Brown to explore how they created their latest album, a motion picture soundtrack, and how their music resonates with some fans in a surprisingly spiritual way. Here's our conversation with AJ Jackson from Saint Motel. Whoa, baby, preach.
Teach me, baby, teach us. So preach it, baby, preach. So loving, do the so loving. You gotta say.
Well, I do want to talk about your album. You were saying, you know, there's like a narrator, and the premise is that it's essentially a movie or a movie soundtrack. Which is so interesting to me. I love movies, and so it's cool to like hear a movie essentially. So I just want to know, what was the inspiration behind that album?
Yeah, so the idea of being a soundtrack to a movie that doesn't exist, initially it came about. We were on a plane flying to a show, and Sharp was sitting next to me, the guitarist in the band. And he was looking through the Sky Mall magazine, the one that's in your seat pocket, and there was a soundtrack for some movie. And he's like, "Oh, that's a great name for the album." I was like, it made total sense to me, and I had already kind of wanted to try releasing it in parts. I didn't know what the concept would be, but then, you know, a three-act structure of a movie seemed to make a lot of sense. And then we just had St. Louis Television come out before that. And then, you know, the band started in film school, so it felt like it was harkening back to kind of our roots. And then, even though the music wasn't created with that in mind, the song started slotting into place of this story structure that seemed to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it is cool. You know, as you listen to it, it does feel like I'm, like, as you listen to the lyrics and even just the music of it, it really like pushes it through like a movie. So it's a really, really awesome album. You know, you say that it's the soundtrack to a movie that hasn't been made, but were there any movies or maybe movie soundtracks that influenced you while you were writing the album?
Well, absolutely. So, well, while writing the album, I'm not so sure as much as we worked with a film composer to do interludes between each song. So it's a continuous score. And that during that process, you know, we send references like Ennio Morricone here, John Williams kind of vibe here, you know, like, Vangelis into this kind of thing. So we're referencing different famous film composers as we went from song to song to see, kind of feel that vibe, which is where, like, you know, going from like Sisters into Van Horn, we go into like kind of Western Morricone vibe. And then, you know, the things like It's All Happening becomes a bit more like 1980s movie, more digital Vangelis kind of style. So in that regard, yeah, we were going through the gamut of different film composers and different film music styles, and it was a lot of fun. We worked with this composer named Duke, who we just did a performance in his home country of Macedonia, North Macedonia, with an orchestra, where we did the entire album all the way through with his film score transitions and with him there in his home place. It was epic.
You know, you have songs like Preach and Born Again, and you have these narrators like the voice of God. And, you know, I don't know if you're relevant, we cover the intersection of faith and culture. So this is very interesting to me. You know, what
you might even say is relevant.
Ah, that's our favorite. That's our favorite joke. what role does religion play in your life and in your music? Because you do have a lot of religious elements, I've noticed at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess a song like Born Again, which is perhaps like our most religious undertone song, even though I suppose, you know, a lot of them, you could probably find interpretation through a lot of the songs, but that one is pretty directly influenced by an experience of mine growing up with a friend of mine who kind of disappeared and was sent to a kind of, I guess it was a religious rehab, and then kind of came back a changed person. And, you know, and some of the songs are a bit more metaphorical, you know, it's all up for interpretation, which I think is good. And I think, you know, as being a religious publication like you guys are, I think interpretation is pretty important for scripture or whatever it is. So Yeah, I generally kind of treat songwriting in the same way of like, you know, what it means to me doesn't necessarily what it means to you. And I think that's great. I think people driving their own relevance, so to speak, from the lyrics and how it fits with them personally is kind of what, you know, I'd say 50% of songwriters are going for. Some telling a very specific story, some leaving it very open, some people leaving it maybe too open and not actually saying anything, which I don't like that style. But yeah, I mean, they're all kind of open for interpretation in that regard. Really just the same. I'm born again. Get born, get born, get born again. Get born, get born, get born again. I died and saw the light, my friend.
I was actually just reading a study yesterday that said in 2020 more people were streaming like happy music, which just I get it because I think people wanted to hear happy music. So is that like whenever you create an album, is that really always the goal, is like to have a positive influence on people, or do you have like another goal in mind when you're creating music?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily happy music, but even a sad song can be uplifting. You know, the Japanese have this phrase for, it's basically like sad, happy, where there can be some sort of joy to be found in grief. So even a sad song, like on our latest album, like The Moment or Save Me, I think it can have a net positive uplifting experience. Like just the same regard of, you know, listening to a song that's about a breakup could be helping you get through one, even though the song concept itself is negative. So in that regard, I mean, uplifting on a general sense, even if the music, which actually tends to be upbeat the same motel, we still have our fair share of down-tempo, kind of more introspective tunes as well. Like, At Least I Have Nothing, or Waltz of Wood Bones, or all these kind of songs.
That was St. Motel. You can read more of our interview with AJ Jackson and the new winter issue of Relevant. It's available now. Go to relevantmagazine.com, click on the magazine tab. You can read this feature as well as a ton of others with the likes of Andrew Garfield, Denzel Washington, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and so many more. It's available now for free. Go check it out at relevantmagazine.com. Okay, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. You got what you wanted. You're listening to Cal in Red. The song is Got What You Wanted. Okay, it's time for your feedback. So last week we got talking about how did we get to this? It was the historical figure from the past that you would want to go back in time to spend a day with, and why. I'm trying to
Betty White.
That's right. Some of our icons, beloved icons that have passed. How cool would it be to be able to spend a day with her? All right. That's what we got thinking of. We did put some exclusions, said no Bible people, because, you know, we thought you guys would all say Jesus. So no Bible people. So we asked you what historical figure you'd want to go back in time, spend a day with, and why. You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. And here are a few of our favorite replies.
John Tansey, at first this seems like a kind of a boring selection, but he said former UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill would be a pretty cool hang. You know, I'm not a big student of World War II or British history, but I heard Winston Churchill was kind of a party animal for a guy that was leading a nation through World War II.
And he was incredibly funny. That's what I've heard too. So
yeah, he would. I ordered. I read that he would, you know, start the day with his briefings with like mimosas in bed with the briefing. Like my Yeah, I was gonna say
he's whiskey like, all day. Yeah,
yeah, he's like Master P, like lifestyle.
I'm going to start every day with a mimosa in bed. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to forget the details, but remember that famous quote where like one of the other politicians, some lady was like, "You're just fat and drunk." And he said, yes, ma'am, I may be fat, but you're ugly. And in the morning I'll be sober or something like that. Or he's like, "Yes, ma'am, maybe I'm drunk, but you're ugly. And in the morning I'll be sober. You'll still be ugly."
This man, Winston Churchill was gangster.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You said the Master P thing. I was like, let's look. Yeah.
Alex Garza said she would like to have dinner with C.S. Lewis so that she could ask him if he liked pineapple on his pizza. I don't know why this is what she needs to know from someone, but she wants to know if he likes pineapple on his pizza.
Of all people.
Of all the things.
Of all this the things man, to ask C.S. Lewis.
Man, Brendan Spencer said, maybe not a historical figure, but Jesus had brothers, right? So first off, found the loophole. Which is amazing.
There you go.
Right? But would love to sit down with them and see how it feels to hear, "Why can't you be more like your brother?" and look over to Jesus washing dishes with telepathy. Brendan Spencer, you are amazing. And that needs to be a script to a Netflix show.
I'd watch that show. I would watch that show. Jesus' Brothers.
Why can't you be like your brothers?
Ooh.
It's like How I Met Your Mother, but it's not.
Why can't you be like your brother? That's good.
Right, why can't you be like your brother?
All right, well, there's a lot more where that came from. Go check it out over on the podcast feed. All right, it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Earlier in the show, Tyler brought the info about the gates of hell in Turkmenistan, that they're it's a massive, massive pit that's perpetually on fire, and it's terrifying looking. You know, you'd think that we're going to ask you, like, what do you want to see done before it's closed up, like Nick Linda Stunt, or how would you put out the fire? No, we're not going there. We want you to open our eyes and tell us about other obscure natural phenomenon that would freak people out. We live in a weird world. I don't know if y'all have seen deep sea creatures, but we live in a weird world. So hit us up and tell us your favorite kind of obscure natural thing that you're aware of and other people are not. And tell us about it. Send us a link, send us pictures and all that. And we'll bring our favorites on the show next week. Cool. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast or wherever you see us post a question. Well, before we wrap up, I want to thank Saint Motel for joining us today. You can read more of our interview with them in the winter issue of Relevant. Like I mentioned earlier, it's available right now at relevantmagazine.com. Just click on the magazine tab. It's like 15, 14 full-length magazine level features, beautiful interface available for free. Go check it out. Also, make sure every week you are seeing what we are adding to relevantstore.com. We got our latest merch, sweatshirts, podcast fan gear, mugs, a bunch of cool stuff. Plus, and we're in the final days of our annual print edition pre-order sale. We are about to go to print with the annual print edition of Relevant, beautiful coffee table edition of our long form content. It's but available right now for pre-sale, and in the pre-sale, you're saving 20%. So go sign up now, get it. You will be the first one to get it when it's off the press here coming up very soon. Relevantstore.com, updating it every Friday. Don't miss it. Also, while you're at the website, make sure to stay connected with what we have going on. Maybe, you know, you're following us on Twitter, you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, but you're not seeing everything we're putting out. Well, our daily newsletter is a great way to keep in touch with our top five cream of the crop trending articles right there in your inbox every weekday morning. You can sign up right there at the front page of relevantmagazine.com. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine, A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Just another thing wrong with this pandemic. You can't even have a cathartic burp anymore.
Relevant Podcast Network.